Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning we're talking about Tell Them We Are Rising, the new documentary on HBCUs. So we're talking to alums of those historical Black colleges and universities. And this morning we're joined by Wayne Lindsay. Wayne, welcome.
Thank you so much. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful, and I'm so happy that you're taking the time. It's very early on the West Coast to join us. But I wanted to ask you, Wayne, what was it like for you to attend an HBCU, and was this something that you decided to do, or did family have some input in your decision on attending Howard University?
Well, that's an interesting question. Originally, I wanted to attend University of Miami because they had a music program and a brochure that caught my attention. But while I was waiting to hear back from that school, I was in D.C. attending high school at the time. And my dad suggested that I at least try some places, you know, so I'd have a backup. And I went to Howard and auditioned, and they gave me a full scholarship. And that helped me decide to go to Howard. I really was unaware of all of the extra benefits that I would receive from going to HBCU. So I really didn't know what I was in for. I was pleasantly surprised. But also my dad and my mom, my dad did go to Howard as well. He went there and actually got married after he graduated from seminary on his graduation day. They got married at Rankin Chapel. So, you know, like I said, when I was 17, I didn't really know all of the extra treasure troves that I was in for, you know, like my own connection to Howard even. I wasn't aware.
Well, that brings me to the fact I remember the Wayne Lindsay Trio playing all over D.C. When you were in school. Now, did your professors support that, or did they help with that? How did all of that kind of come about?
That was all me, actually. They had nothing to do with it. You know, they didn't, you know, matter of fact, it used to cause problems at times because, for one example, I remember once when I opened up a show for Billy Taylor that was at the University of District of Columbia. And I was actually on the program as a solo pianist. I was the only performer on the second half of the program. They actually had a 7-foot piano for the beginning, and then they went to intermission and put in the 9-foot piano that Billy and I played. And then they had the Howard University Jazz Band play. They did like a reception for the event, and then the students wanted to know why, you know, why is Wayne on the real show, and we, you know, and I was playing as a professional, and so I didn't, you know, I didn't have anything to do with the college side of it as far as getting those gigs. It was me out in the streets and in the clubs, you know, trying to make a name for myself, actually.
Well, and I was going to say, Wayne, that kind of leads me to the next question.
Okay.
What did, you mentioned earlier that the attending an HBCU opened up a trove of different treasures for you. What was it that came from being a part of that HBCU culture, so to speak?
Well, you know, basically it was, you know, just getting to know my people in another kind of way and being around, you know, us all being around each other in that way. I mean, we had, they were just things that were unique to us all culturally, which we all shared. For example, at that time, they were trying to make Martin Luther King's birthday a holiday. So therefore, it was important to Howard students, and it was important to us all, it seemed. So I was a part of that march. I was down there marching on the steps with Stevie Wonder in ice cold weather. Things of that nature, you know, with Dick Gregory being on campus all the time. I mean, it seems as though the faculty and the students, we were all interested in being enlightened in a way that I'm sure would not have happened on a white campus. So, and be pretty much the same way. My daughter, she just left Howard last semester. And once she got there, you know, she just couldn't see herself not being at Howard. You know, so I think that depending especially on where you grow up or where you grew up, you know, for us, you know, it was Atlanta and me then D.C. as well. You know, we kind of grew up in black communities before we got to Howard. But, for example, my daughter being a Californian, you know, it's already a melting pot out here. So a lot of the black kids and most of the other kids don't really see a need for that kind of cultural awakening or cultural immersion, I would say. You know, but once they get there, then it's like, wow, you know, look at this, you know.
And how did that culture continue to impact you and your career, or did it?
Well, I can't say it continued per se, but the relationships that I have from Howard, of course, are still active today. So, you know, it really laid the foundation for, I would consider to be a great group of people. And, you know, Howard folk are just cool. And the same thing, I'm sure, exists among the other HBCUs, you know. We used to go hang out at Hampton some, and I know that they're really close. I mean, I was interviewed on Fox News in D.C. by a woman who teased me about her going to the original HU. And I'm like, how can you go to HU when we all remember Hampton Institute? We know who HI is. Get out of here, you know. But anyway, you know, there seems to be a closeness amongst us all.
Amongst us all. Now, Wayne, you have gone on to play with masters like Miles Davis, Aretha Franklin, and
yeah,
you know, Babyface, Whitney, uh-huh, Mays,
mm-hmm,
Jay Leno, uh-huh, American Idol. I mean, almost any popular figure or popular television show or an event, you might have a connection to it.
Correct.
Did just talent take you there? Did some of your time at Howard impact that future?
Well, I will say that Howard did a good job of preparing me for my professional career. One thing that separates me from a lot of the other guys that do what I do is that I also read music. And a lot of musicians today grow up in the church, and they're never taught the value of learning to read music. So therefore, their opportunities are really limited at times in terms of the gigs that they can do. Even when I just went back and did this Howard Homecoming show, one of the guys that played with me said, well, there's not a lot of reading gigs around here. I said, there are reading gigs, you just don't know about it because you're not getting called for them.
And you were always talented. I remember the high school band,
well,
Wayne.
You.
So, but now there's
thank you, Kipper.
No, but there's some people who say that, you know, we don't need HBCUs anymore. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, anybody who would say something like that, then they never really understood why we needed them in the first place. You know, because now it's worse than ever. I mean, the cultural splits and the undercurrent racism, you know, it's crazy. I mean, it's like I've never seen it in my lifetime personally. And, you know, I'm a product of a civil rights activist. You know, my father was, he went to Booker T. Washington with Dr. King, and we lived in Birmingham from 62 to 66, and he went to jail and marched with Dr. King. And so, you know, water fountains were segregated in my lifetime, and that's something that I don't necessarily remember, but I know that it obviously hasn't been that long, because I'm not that old, regardless of what my kids tell me. But, yeah, I think that it is, you know, I know for my daughter, you know, her going to Howard, it just really, you know, it awakened her blackness in a way that did not exist until she got there. So I know that HBCUs are still doing what they've done, which is, you know, help make a better better community of us as a people. You know, we get a chance to be immersed together and study and it's just, you know, it's just something that just doesn't happen at white schools. You know, I mean, now my niece just graduated from MIT and I went there for her graduation and I hung out with her a couple of times while she was a student there. And of course they have their little cliques that form amongst the black students that attend, I'm sure, any of the white schools. You know, they may have their little common floor in a dorm or even just one dorm or their little place on campus where they all meet. But it's not the same as being, you know, fully at a black school. Now, for that matter, Howard's not even all black anymore. When I go to Howard these days, you know, there's way more white kids and Asian kids than I ever remember. But they are still at a
HBCU. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, you know, they're benefiting from what it is we have to offer when we assemble in that way.
It's the culture that you can't duplicate.
Exactly. So did I answer the question or did I get lost?
No, I think you answered the question. I don't think we got lost. And look,
there was such a long answer. Forgive me.
No, that was a great answer, Wayne. And I'm going to throw in just one of those questions because I know there are listeners out there. There are students on our campus who are talented. And tell us how you made it, if that's even possible to do, Wayne. Because you had the high school band, you had the college band, but you were able to take that leap into stardom, so to speak.
Well, I would say that, first of all, you need to have talent and you need to have determination. You know, you have to believe that it's something that you must do. You know, and that's how I was about it. I never considered doing anything else. And you must be prepared. And I mean, it takes a lot. It takes, like I said, it takes perseverance. It takes discipline. One thing I can offer to the youngsters is that it's important to be punctual. It's important to be on time. It's important to be prepared, and it's also important not to bite off more than you can chew. You know, you want to make sure that when you go into a situation, you look good. You don't want to move too fast and accept gigs or opportunities that you're not ready for because it's going to make you look bad. And so you don't want to put yourself in that position. If you know, for example, they're playing an attack on music that you're not good at, then don't accept that gig. Pass that gig on to somebody who's better prepared for it and stay in your own lane so then therefore you can continue to shine. Don't shine a bad spotlight on yourself by taking a gig that's got a lot of reading involved and you know you can't read music because then they're not going to want you to come back when they figure out that you really can't read. Just stay home and practice your reading more. But I think that has a lot to do with it, you know, perseverance and just, you know, Hustle. You got to really want it. So, you know, I was really that way. I moved to California in 1983, and I was, like, really, really hitting the ground running. I mean, I was, like, this club. I was at that club. I started working with this band. And, you know, before you knew it, it was less than a year, and I was in Maze. And before then, I had played with Lola Falana, and I was playing with Billy Davis and Marilyn McCoo. So I was working. And, you know, and it's funny because people laugh when they talk about how I got here. I mean, because I did. I hit the ground like, you know, like a whirlwind. I was like, okay. I knew everybody really quickly. And so I would say, you know, be prepared. You know, practice. And also, I think it's just as important to be a good person as it is a good player. And I'm speaking personality, attitude, and character. You know, you want to be a person that's reliable, that's dependable. You want to be a person that has humility. You know, you can't run around with all this ego and everybody needs me. No, just chill and relax, you know, and be a person that people also want to be around. Because you can play all you want to, but if nobody wants to be around you, then that's not going to work.
I love that answer, Wayne. Talent and determination. Mm-hmm. That'll take you far.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to share with our listeners about your HBCU experience.
No problem. It was my pleasure and honor. Thank you for having me.